Welcome to 101 Stage Adaptations. I'm your host, Melissa Schmitz. I'm a theater artist and arts administrator, and I wrote my first stage adaptation when I was 22. Now I'm interviewing playwrights about their own adaptations, their creative process, and how they make it all work. Welcome back, everyone. It's that time of year again. I'm talking about end of play. So today's episode is an excerpt from my full conversation with Lily Dwoskin and Jordan Stovall from the Dramatists Guild. You can listen to that full episode in episode 23. And today is just the isolated bits about end of play specifically. And if you don't know what end of play is, stay tuned. We're going to be talking about it. And do check out the show notes for all the links you need in order to get signed up for this great annual program that's free and put on by the Dramatists Guild. Enjoy. Well, let's get right into it. What is end of play and who can participate?
So end of play is a national playwriting and composing month. Anybody can participate, member or not. That was very important to us when we started this 4 years ago, just as an entry point into the guild, as a programming that has no barriers that anyone can benefit from that the guild is providing. Yes, so basically it's a challenge to write a new play or musical in 1 month. We're hoping that the deadline, as well as the community programming that we've integrated into it, will help motivate people and get them to the finish line in 1 month, which is, it's a challenge, but hopefully an exciting one.
Yeah. What was the genesis of this program?
I originally had the idea, again, like as an employee of the guild and a writer, I was always trying to think of what I would want the guild to be doing. I had the idea, and originally I was like, and everyone like around the country can, get together and shout end of play at the last day. It was like the first vision I had for it. But I remember going over to Jordan, who did like more outreach type of things. And as Jordan mentioned before, when you work for an arts organization, you often do things that are just not part of your job description. And, yep. You know, normally office managers are not creating creative programming, but
sure.
Yeah. But you know, when you have the idea and they let you continue with it, which I was so happy about. Anyway, I went to Jordan and we bounced ideas off one another and sort of developed it on the fly. And I have this great memory of the very first year, like 3 days before it was supposed to be starting, individually uploading every of the 1,000 members that signed up.
Oh my God. I forgot about that.
As we were trying to figure out how to do this. It's gotten more smooth since then. But that first year, just figuring it out as we went. And then the pandemic hitting like 10 days into the month and having to pivot everything to online was fly by the seat of our pants that first year. But people found it really helpful, in an unexpected way during the pandemic, having a community to lean on when everyone just got really isolated, like more than you are mm-hmm. normally when you're a playwright.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think Lily covered a lot of it already. I'll just say, I remember when Lily came to me with this idea, she was like, I don't know about this. You know, I just had this, I don't know. And I was like, yes, we need to do that. That's awesome. And it was so, I think it was received beyond anyone's expectations in the first year, especially, which is why, I was saying there was like a couple days we were just going through this Excel spreadsheet from top to bottom, like we need to get this in. Yeah, I think it came as well from the genesis of like, we have 10,000 members. We have all of these things in terms of like how we can support them, but never like a hands-on answer to the the question or like the need of like, I have this thing that I've been thinking about writing, and I don't know, it's been in my sock drawer forever. Like, I don't know if it's like I'm good enough to do it or blah, 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 blah. And I think people just needed that kick to be like, here is the permission for you to do something you don't think that you can. And we do as much as we can throughout the month to just like completely like to put as many resources behind it as possible in terms of support. And it just stuck. I mean, I think that we tapped into something, is that need for people to come together and say, you're not alone. You can do this. Anyone can write a play, and it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be written. And in 30 days, you can either do something you didn't think you were capable of doing, or you can, if maybe you're a more experienced writer, you can maybe finally work out that idea that like you've been keep putting to the side. And I use that for myself. Like I'll have, like, for example, right this year I'm planning to work on a play that I've been meaning to rewrite. That was one of my thesis plays for my MFA, and I just put it in a sock drawer after my MFA, and I was like, I'm gonna let this breathe a little bit. And I keep thinking like, I should go back to that script. That was a cool idea, and it's not doing it, so I'm gonna do it this year. It's like, yeah, just gotta do
You know,
it.
it's
For sure.
funny. I get emails every year with people who write in and say, am I allowed to participate in end of play with this concept or this idea? Or can I do it with one act? Or can I do it with a collection of songs? And I laugh a little bit, but then I think, no, these people, they need, like, they want the permission. To be like, of course you can. The end of play is here for you so that you can work out your ideas. There's, you know, if you wanted to write a 10-minute play and take the whole month to do it, like, of course you can. It's for you.
Yeah, it's really helpful for me, especially, to have a container in which to write, as opposed to like just an open-ended, yeah, do it whenever, because then I just won't do it. So I already have my play planned out for what I'm going to work on for end of play. So yeah, so I'm scared and excited to do that.
Awesome.
I'm curious to know, on the admin side, is the bulk of your work in preparation for end of play or during end of play, and what do those tasks look like?
I think the majority of work comes before, and every year we try to expand a little bit and make new collaborations. Like this year we've connected with Drama Bookshop, so they're going to have a table out, which is so exciting, and a drink named after us, but I won't give away the surprise because it'll be released later on. And last year we connected with DGI, who Jordan mentioned earlier, but it's just making those connections early on, working with the communications department who make graphics and put out social media posts and get the word out. And I think during the month, it's connecting with the writers themselves. People write in with questions. We have events that people participate in nationally and regionally, and every year we try to offer more. But yeah, so I think the work changes, but I think there's more in the planning. We usually start in December. It's always earlier than we think we need to, but then we're always
November.
rushing at the end. Oh, it was no, yeah, it was November this year. We're like, well, this feels really early, like it just ended yesterday, but then we're always in crunching or crunch time in March anyway. So, you know.
Yeah, it's a massive undertaking. And we start in November because there's a lot that goes into it. From, each of those daily emails that goes out has to be written and proofed. Each of the workshop leaders has to be confirmed. We confirm our programming. We have to, plan things like outreach and strategize what the support looks like each year. And then during the actual month, we're focused on the administration of those workshops, making sure that people have what they need, and also our collaboration with the 24-hour place. So
Yes.
I don't think that's something we've talked about yet. It's just that anybody who participates in End of Play can submit to have a closed private reading of their work, where 24-hour plays casts from a pool of volunteer performers to read their script out loud for the first time. And they get that for free of charge, at the end of play, this usually the second week afterwards. So we work with 24-hour plays to put that together and make sure everybody is paired together for that. And they also, it's a closed reading, but you have the opportunity to include artistic collaborators if you want to invite like a dramaturg or director or trusted artistic partner in any capacity. So yeah, and then yeah, the expansion. So thinking about what else we can do. And we're trying, I think this year in particular, to try and now that we're back from mostly from COVID, figure out how to work with spaces like venues, theaters, arts organizations to bring them into in-person theater culture. And the Drama Bookshop has been a great collaborator in that.
That's so great. It gets bigger and richer every year, and I love it. One thing I noticed that I have to ask is that on like the initial End of Play page, it says April is National Playwriting Month, so join us for End of Play. Did the Dramatists Guild invent National Playwriting Month just so they could run End of Play during that time, or was that something that was already in place before?
I think we invented it. I think we decided to call it National Playwriting Month because of End of Play. So,
Yeah, End of Play came first. Yeah,
yeah.
End of Play
Okay.
came first, and it actually was originally in March, but we
It
moved
was.
it to
Okay.
April.
Okay.
Hot tip.
Yeah.
Got it. I was like, as a marketer, I have suspicions about the coincidence of this. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for confirming that for me. I love it. I mean, whatever it takes to get the plays written, right? I'm curious, who writes and vets all of the writing prompts that come every day into our inboxes? And if you one of you are one of the writers of that, which tip are you the most proud of that you've written?
Gosh, so the emails, the first year, it was half prompts and half inspirational quotes. And I came up with all the prompts in the first year, and I sourced the quotes from our council members and our coping calendar, with their permission, of course. It was a lot. And I thought back to my experience as a writer and in school and different classes that I've taken and what has worked for me, and move forward. In the second year, and the third year, we sourced the prompts from DGI instructors and council members, who were more than happy to contribute. And it was good, and I felt like it wasn't all my voice. And this year is sort of a combo. Some of the prompts I'm pretty excited about. I got a little creative with this year. But I think one that has always been very useful for me is setting a timer and just saying, in the next 15 minutes, I'm gonna write this scene, and whatever happens by the end of the 15 minutes, and that's what I've written. Or like do that, but start it with a sentence from the book that's sitting closest to you. I find those prompts to be the most helpful. But I got a little creative with them this year. I think you'll enjoy them.
Ooh. Oh, I can't wait.
And Jordan wrote some of the emails this year too. It was something the last 3 years that I took on personally, just because I felt really connected to that part of it, and I liked speaking directly to the participants.
this year I have a baby and I have lots going on, and I was like, I don't know that I have the time to really think and write with my best foot forward for every email. Mm-hmm. So Jordan is very much the voice of this, of End of Play also. And so I asked them to step in, and I think you did a good job.
Awesome. What kinds of success stories and feedback have come from past participants of End of Play?
Oh gosh, it's so nice. I've heard several times when somebody will either comment on our social media or send an email in and say, the play that I wrote last year for End of Play is now a finalist at the Eugene O'Neill conference, or is getting a production in my hometown. Or I've done 3 drafts of it and now we're having our first staged reading. And that is just the dream for this, that, you know, the plays that people that are born out of End of Play then go on to have a life.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's really touching to see all of the different journeys that these take, and how people continue on with it after the month. We hear a lot of those kinds of stories. And yeah, sometimes all it takes is a prompt to say that you can't. We receive, I think, April has become one of our most engaged months with membership in general. And I think that's because people are so passionate about what it does and the actual activity of writing together. So generally speaking, it creates a lot of positive inspirational energy for folks. And they hear a lot of gratitude and mutual support and success, the forming of new relationships, creative relationships, collaborations, writers groups, longstanding creative relationships. I know groups of folks who are still meeting to write with the folks they met during End of Play. And so it goes even beyond the script. The second portion is community and the folks that you meet. And that is another way for people to form new creative relationships that they're able to nurture and support each other with throughout the rest of their careers.
That's so great. How do you see End of Play evolving over the next few years?
Well, my dream is that we keep getting more organizational collaborators and that it grows, and that people who maybe didn't know that they could write plays or normally would write prose would try their hand at playwriting and through that hear about Dramatists Guild and know about all the wonderful programming that we have all year long.
I would agree with that. I think, you know, now that we've done this for 4 years, I think we have a good grasp on what it is and how to do it internally, like in terms of what we do in our day-to-day work. So now that we've got a good infrastructure where we feel like we're able to reach out and support artists in new ways and directly, you know, speak to them. I'm really interested in figuring out how it can exist in theaters and organizations. I'm also interested in that cross-section of how End of Play can promote awareness for writers in the industry, simply by coming together and by being a force, which is the whole reason the Guild was created in the first place, is power in numbers. And if I feel like I'm giving my secret away here, but if a theater and organization says this seems cool and a good way to invite my community in, and then they see that there's 30 writers, you know, filling up their cafe on a given day that they didn't know existed, maybe they'll start thinking about the theater writer in a different light, in a different context throughout the rest of their programming and seasoning, or in programming in seasons. Sorry, not
a little
cooking.
Paprika.
Yeah. and that's you know, it's the second, that's another, you know, function of this is visibility for writers, and showing and showing up in spaces together where we're able to bring light back to that. And so having, I think, folks showing up in spaces and working on this and having visibility also helps create lasting relationships with theaters and organizations that will hopefully open more conversations throughout the year.
Yeah, and actually something you said a while ago about when you meet your heroes, realize that they're real people who really did this work. I don't know about you, but in high school, and you do a musical, you never think of the writers of the musical or play that you're doing as real right. people. They're just this entity.
Yeah.
And so that if people, you know, if you need to change the words because your school board doesn't like using swear words, you know, you don't think about how that's changing the message that somebody spent a really long time crafting. But
yep.
maybe, you know, in the far future, if end of play becomes such a force, maybe schools will participate with their students, and then students will realize at that time that it takes people to write plays, and they can do it too, and they wouldn't want people changing their words, and so maybe they can stand up to their school boards, you know. Thankfully.
For sure. So we encourage everybody to sign up for end of play, period, even if you don't know what you want to write yet. Just do it. Just sign up.
That's right. Figure it out.
Yes.
We'll help.
There's writing prompts and inspiration every day. You'll figure it out. Just sign up.
Thank you for listening to this episode of 101 Stage Adaptations. If you liked it, I hope you'll forward to a friend today. Sharing is caring, and word of mouth is still the best form of advertising. So I hope you'll share it with someone today. 101 Stage Adaptations is produced by me, Melissa Schmitz, with the help of Hello Podcast Media. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next time.